Hi guys, this is J King Direct, and I would like to welcome you, the viewer, to the Direct Mind podcast. We're featured on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also Google Podcasts, just to name a few. And this season, we're going to be interviewing a lot of different kinds of people. Some are motivational speakers, some are artists, others are also business people. That way we can get you guys a variety of content. And I won't just be hosting, I'll be also featuring other co-hosts. Now we will be on for season two. Stay tuned.
Get started. All right, guys, welcome to the Direct Mind podcast. I am here with John Mark, Artist Management. I almost got that messed up on Facebook. Some lady from Canada apparently has Orpheus Music, but here in Washington, D.C. is Orpheus Artist Management. And with John Mark as its CEO, he's been working with talent and different acts in the industry for about how many years now?
Just about a year and a half.
A year and a half, but you've been in the music industry for longer than that.
Just about my whole life, depending on how you define music industry.
All right, so go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I mean, as a professional in the industry, that's fairly recent. Most of my career, I was actually a language educator and I did music on the side. Okay. And so, I've had musical projects as a performer, songwriter that go back more than 20 years. So my instrument is the guitar and I'm also a singer, but it's only recently, the last couple of years, I decided to take this very seriously. And I'm a student at the Berklee College of Music studying music production. And so I started with some friends of mine, this business, Orpheus, last year. And so far, it's been quite an experience, and I look forward to the future that, because of the pandemic, who knows what kind of future we have, right?
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to see, if we can be able to dialogue on, and also how to be able to shift or pivot from that as a business. As myself, I just began the artist and brand management for a lot of different brands this year. So you just beat me by a couple months, but I've been having that idea for about 8 or 9 years. So it just took a lot of faith to just step out and try it on my own. But I wasn't expecting the COVID-19 stuff to start affecting us as it has. Now, I know we are all being affected in some way, shape, or form by the pandemic. And to be able to have a constructive dialogue about it, there's a couple things I want to help our viewers or anybody listening to understand. What are some effective strategies that you're noticing for business growth during the pandemic as a musician or even as the music business is going?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, the short answer that I have first before I go into my longer answer, if that's all right, is I honestly don't know. And I mean, and I have a good reason for believing that. To better explain my answer, maybe I should say a little bit about what Orpheus does. And that will kind of help to better kind of lay out where we see business development right now because of the pandemic. And just very briefly, Orpheus is a quote unquote full service artist management or artist resource company. Okay. There's two sides to the business. One is the music writing, production, recording side. And then the other side is public engagement. And public engagement involves social media management, graphic design, photography, videography, things like that. And as a CEO, I kind of overlook all of it, but you know, my expertise is in music production. And then one of my partners, her name is Erin, she oversees all of the public engagement projects that we have. And so, you know, one thing that definitely we have noticed as a result of COVID is that the landscape is changing, and it's still in the process of changing. And I mean, I remember thinking, you know, back in March, April, when this all started, thinking like, man, this is going to change everything. This is going to change how we do business. It's going to change how we live our lives. And we're not going to know for a while exactly what that change looks like. And now 8 months into it, I still kind of feel like we're in that same space, although some things are starting to come more into focus. And one of those things that I'm noticing is, you know, a greater reliance on social media, which is obvious, a greater reliance on reaching out to your audience digitally through a variety of different channels, you know, not just Facebook, not just Instagram. But still writing music, still recording music, but for our audience, it's more like, you know, how am I going to get my music, get my art into the hands of my fans? And it's still a difficult nut for us to crack. And to be honest, I haven't quite yet. Now, one thing for sure that we have done. That we wouldn't have done otherwise is doing a lot more like remote or on location work. Mm-hmm. And so, like for example, just yesterday I was up near College Park with a client doing a video project, and she's a djembe drum instructor, and we had planned for her to come to our studio. We were going to do a professional audio recording and a video recording for these instructional videos that she's going to make and sell to her audience.
Yeah.
And instead, I wound up just loading up all of my gear, putting on my mask, and driving to Maryland to do it in her home. And you know, it was really difficult, but the truth is, it's where we are right now. And it actually, it's a new skill. And it's now, even after the pandemic, what I feel like is things like that are going to be more common. Things like that are going to be more accepted. Whereas before, almost like this understanding, like, no, you don't want to do that yourself. You don't want to do that in your home. You want to come to a studio. But proving that there's a lot more flexibility like that, I feel like is one direction that that we're definitely going.
And what I've started to notice, the people that were doing a lot of virtual, a lot of like teleconferences or like consultants, coaches, gym assistants, or if you want to call them personal trainers. And that's where I started to see those guys had already got a booming business through that channel. And how does musicians start to even attack that when their business model isn't based on, you know, me having to log in on a website to see my artist or to see somebody make the music that I was going to go in a live concert for that experience. So I understand where you are coming from. Now, to even add to what we were talking about, a lot of the businesses out here, I was actually speaking to a coffee business owner. She said about 34% of Yelp business owners had to shut down. Did you feel like that was the case in your area or not at all?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
We have fortunately been the recipient of one DC city grant for small businesses east of the river. And that's kept us afloat for sure. And of course, it's not yet my primary source of income. And so, you know, from that point of view, we were somewhat resilient. But definitely businesses are closing, man. I mean, it's really, really scary out there. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, who knows where it's going, right?
Of course. And then for those people that it is a full-time job, they're having to pivot towards doing, like yesterday or so, I was watching a YouTube video of somebody like YG and a couple other artists are doing merch, and they're finding out that merchandising their products and their CDs is actually working better for them versus concert tickets and going on tours for right now. Now, I don't know about the long-term perception of that, because that's far-fetched. However, what I can really start to guess is that there is going to be a new market available, whether that's merchandising or getting on live stream platforms such as Twitch, or even Streamlabs and getting your content out to Facebook and YouTube at the same time. That is the next question I was going to ask you. Do you feel like a lot of the artists or the music industry is going to be doing more and more live streams and quarantined areas? Because I even saw like these late shows, all these things that where you had the live audience, they had to switch to working from home. Do you feel like that's going to happen a lot more?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, the primary way that people discover or people enjoy music that they like is through live concerts. And I don't think that's going to change. I definitely think that there will be more opportunities, once COVID is over, for live streaming and such. But the biggest change, in this direction that I'm seeing is without that face-to-face connection that fans get when they go to a show, when they go to a club, when they meet their friends, they listen to the music, there is a greater emphasis on making that connection virtually. And I feel like, a lot of the really savvy artists were doing that already, but now a lot of my clients, they have not been able to perform for months now, and that's how they connected with their fans. And so what's happening now is like they're like, oh man, I really need to be on brand. I need to have a color palette. I need to have fonts that I use all the time. I need to have a set of hashtags that I use. I need to have a voice. I need to know who my audience is and what they expect to hear and what they're going to engage in, if I post something online. Whereas before, I mean, honestly, there was not a lot of emphasis on that. But yeah, I'm seeing that much, much, much more these days.
Yeah, and that leads into the next part of this. But before we cover that, so for the audience, what's coming next, and also for John Mark, is how to effectively sell your brand, product, and service to paying customers, or helping you find that audience and your story to tell them, and how your brand's future is totally dependent on your investment, effort, time, advertising to customers, and whatever services we're providing.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your PC or your phone. And also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can start making money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Now, what I recommend is you go to your app store or Play Store and download the free Anchor app, or go to anchor.fm to get started.
All right. So how do we effectively sell products and ourselves as brands if we're coming from an artist perspective, from your experience? And then also, how does a brand or a product's future become totally dependent on the artist's investment, time, and effort in advertising that image, that service, or to the people that want that story heard. All right. So for John Mark, the next question, I know you talked about all of these things and changing and pivoting the emphasis now to marketing and branding. And I've talked to some artists that still don't think that's important. What would the value from a 1 to 10 point of view from you and why be in marketing now?
Well, I mean, especially within the context of marketing a brand, yeah. I would say 10 plus. I mean, honestly, so yeah. Listen, here's the way I see it.
Yes.
There's really nothing new out there when it comes to music. I mean, everything's been done, right? It's all been done before. What makes, especially popular music, whether it be hip hop or R&B or punk rock or singer-songwriter, classical, EDM, whatever it is, it's all been done before. And what makes it unique mm-hmm. is the artist's message. And a great example of this is with regard to a musical genre mm-hmm. might be like country blues music, you know, blues music that comes from like East Texas and the Mississippi Delta. Mm-hmm. Blues music, it's really, really simple, right? You've got the 12 bars, you repeat them over and over again. There's not a lot of variety. Mm-hmm. Well, so then why do people who love blues music, for example, why do they keep buying new records? Why do they keep trying to find new artists? Well, the reason is because people have their own personalities, and a successful artist, they inject their personality into the music they make, which is what makes popular music so special. And so, from that point of view, mm-hmm. brand is absolutely everything. And if you don't know who you are, and you don't know what your message is, you can't really identify your audience. Because if you have an audience, you have to know what they're expecting. You have to deliver what they want. Right. You have to be able to communicate something to them that evokes an emotional response that they can rely on getting from you. And so what that means is you need to know who you are as an artist. You need to know like what your message is. You need to know what kind of look you're going for. You need to know what your audience expects from you. What kinds of things are they interested in hearing? What kinds of things would they agree with if you said it? What kinds of life experiences do they have that you can help them to identify with?
Okay.
And so knowing this allows you to take something that is, you know, that's been done before with some kind of a musical style and do it in your own way that helps you to connect with your audience. And so, I mean, that's marketing. I mean, that's everything. Right?
It is.
It's down to like the way that you dress or the way the colors that you use in your photo shoots. It goes down to like the style of the production that you use on your recordings. Everything should point to the same thing, and that is, who are you as an artist and what do you want to say?
So what do you feel detracts from somebody's music going viral?
I don't know. That's a really good question. So much of that is chance, just being in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much really, really fantastic music out there that, mm-hmm. that never gets, you know, quote unquote popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is just it's you know, catching lightning in a bottle and being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I would say that's probably the majority of it. And then the thing that kind of gets you over the hump with staying power is awareness of the value of marketing and brand loyalty, and then surrounding yourself with people that you can trust to help you to be successful. But you know, to be honest, in my opinion, when it comes to viral, that's all chance. You know, what I like to see is can you sustain over a long period of time? Can you survive several years of tumultuous change in the industry?
A lot of people don't even have a sustainability plan in the business. Like, what are they going to do after they make their hit record? They just think they can do a record at record at record. So do you feel like that model that we're preaching to artists is sustainable right now? How they should be just doing hit songs or even creating albums, and then some of them don't even get heard by, or they don't go past the record label, I should say. Not that they don't get heard.
Right.
They don't get distributed. Do you feel like that model is outdated and antiquated at all?
My perspective on this gets into a lot of like, why do you make music? Is it a vanity project? Are you doing it just because you enjoy doing it? It makes you feel better. It helps you to understand yourself more. You don't really care if somebody likes it or not.
It kind of is like the Lil Wayne question, because he was just doing that, and we could tell after he dropped Carter 3, the next project was a flop because he didn't put enough, I don't want to say time, but there wasn't a lot of effort in improving or upgrading or maintaining that image.
No, I totally agree. So, I mean, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want to make a record that you want to listen to? Do you want to make a record that you're proud of? Well, then who cares what your audience thinks? And if you're going to do that, if you're going to say, hey, this is my artwork, you just need to be okay with me doing it my way. Well, then you can't expect to be famous as a result. If you're going to try to be famous, at some point, you have to accept that you need to mold your message for an audience, and you have to. Otherwise, there's really no chance that you have for success. And those artists that are out there insisting on doing things quote unquote their own way, but also expecting quote unquote success, really are doing the wrong thing, in my opinion.
So how do you redirect that energy for somebody that's been independent or somebody that's already had a project out there and they want to get back into selling their project and creating that vision? Because I know you run an artist management company. So how do you help mold that vision for people?
Yeah, well, one of the first things that we do when we encounter a new potential client is we decide, is this a good relationship potentially going forward? And part of that is having a conversation where we ask them, tough questions about what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, and how open they are to discussing things like branding, things like consistent messaging, things like identifying the audience. And if that's not important to them, then we're like, well, maybe what you have is actually just a vanity project, right? And you just need to make your own music and be okay with it. And if no one else listens to it, you kind of have to be okay with that too. You can't just make something and then expect people to like it. So it's that balance between, satisfying the creative urge, and then if you expect to make money, the world of the music business, and it is a business,
It is.
there is a certain amount of conformity to what's expected that needs to be allowed, right? And so, like, the answer might be, okay, listen, I'm gonna do this work because I know it's what my audience wants. It's not really, it doesn't really scratch my creative itch, but I'm gonna do it because it's how I sell tickets, it's how I sell merch. And then on the side, on my own, I'm gonna work on my vanity project, and it's gonna be just for me. That's the approach that I like to take when I talk to my clients about, what their long-term goals are. And I find that generally speaking, when I have that conversation with them, it's usually the first time they've ever had that kind of conversation.
And that's why I kind of feel like me coming in the business, it took 8 years of contemplating whether or not I should do it. Do I have the experience? Now I can say on the back end, I already had that experience 8 years ago. I think it was more of a confidence thing in being able to tell an artist, hey, man, that is not going to get you a lot of tickets. It might get you a couple bookings here and there, but it's not going to go farther than that. And that's just understanding, like, you're not going to pitch a iPhone to somebody that loves Android. Or you're not going to pitch Samsung, whatever, to somebody that loves iPhone. It's just you're talking to two separate kinds of people. And understanding that audience, I don't think we even educate people in music like that, because we're teaching them to play instruments, to sound a certain way, and then that sells. But then they mix the message up with, hey, maybe I should try and be an original, a one of one, a one of a kind. And then they make a one hit wonder and they wonder why it never went past that.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I agree.
So the next question for you, I know we're not fortune tellers here, but how much effort, time and investment should one artist or brand of the music expect to give towards advertising, in percentage of time, or even you can say in money wise, if they're invested in a project that's like $100,000, how much do you feel like would be necessary for somebody to dedicate or allocate that into advertising and marketing?
Oh man, I mean, when it comes to financial investment, that's a difficult question to answer. But I would say, when it, if talking just about effort, at least as much, if not more, effort you put into making the music in the first place, it would be okay. My take on it. Yeah.
So more so, if somebody had like $100,000 budget, if they put at least 10 to 20,000 of that into the album, they should at least expect the same on a marketing or advertising budget, just to get the song heard and for people to get beyond their circle of influence, if that makes sense.
It totally does. I mean, a nice example is for example, artists that go on tour, right? So they may spend a few months tops in the studio working on the record, but they go on tour for years, man, right? And a tour is advertising.
Yeah.
And you know, there's an investment of tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, into a recording project,
right?
But with the potential of revenue that you can get by, you know, marketing and getting the music out, there's a lot more that goes into, if you're like a major artist, you know, you've got an entourage, you've got several buses of equipment, you're playing at large stadiums or at festivals or at other venues, and you make a long-term 24-month plus commitment to just getting like those 10 songs that you recorded 2 years ago, those 10 songs into the hands of as many people as possible.
Right.
And so, you know, from that point of view, marketing and advertising is the vast majority of the work that you do.
So why don't we have an MBA in music?
Well, I mean, there are a couple. I know that Berkeley in Boston, they have a master's programs in a variety of areas, including the music business, but it is rare, right? And when it comes to like top tier music schools, with popular music, Berkeley is just about it. All the other top music schools are like classical or jazz, and so the understanding is out there. But I would say the real challenge, and you see this challenge also with people who make music and people who produce music, is that there is an aversion, and I don't know why, to academic study of the business or academic study of the craft. So many of the people that I work with are self-taught. And I think that when it comes to understanding something as complex as the business of the music industry, doing that self-taught is extremely difficult.
Back to the topic at hand. I just wanted to be able to take a quick break for you guys. So if you're listening in your car or on your headphones, now you know that we're going right back into things, and that way you don't just quickly pause and transition back. All right. Thank you. And I don't even think being self-taught or having talent is transferable. If
What do you mean?
like you can't teach somebody how to sing three octaves higher to everybody, because not everybody is talented enough to have those ranges in their voices. So being able to say that, I'm saying also that, those skills they have, transferable skills would be knowing how to market effectively, knowing how to publish, produce, and also to negotiate contracts, or even knowing how to headline an event, knowing how to open for somebody, and still get reviews. And it's more so of the guerrilla marketing of the music. I think those things are transferable versus the actual talent or the inclinations of each artist. Because one artist may be more inclined towards strings, somebody else may be a percussionist, somebody else may just be somebody that can improvise on the spot. Or somebody like a Jay-Z who doesn't re-record tracks, he does it in one take. Like memory, like those innate skills, I think is what make the artist unique. But in terms of getting a lot of market and getting people to not just listen, but to understand who their audience is, I think you do need to go to school for that.
Okay, well, for the sake of argument, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this, if that's all right.
That's fine.
Because I do have a perspective on this that's a little bit different from yours, and I want you to tell me what you think of it. Because I totally agree with you that like the skill of business or operating in an economic a capitalist environment is definitely something you can learn, right? It is a learnable skill. Sure, there is a thing that we call musical talent,
Of
right? And
course.
not everybody has it.
Of
But you know,
course.
I would say that rather than saying that like music skill can't be necessarily taught if you don't already have the talent, I would say that that's that the actual the truth there, as I see it, is it's about knowing yourself. It's about making a commitment and then making a decision and sticking with it. And so what do I mean by that? So, and maybe you can think of some examples from hip hop or R&B, but the examples that come to mind for me from a music that I grew up listening to are people like I don't know, like Bob Dylan or Jimi Hendrix, who had traditionally really, really terrible singing voices, right? But what was it about them that made people want to listen to them? And Bob Dylan changed American music. Jimi Hendrix changed American music, and they were really terrible singers. But they had something, and that was they had confidence in themselves. They knew who they were. They knew what their voice was. They knew they had something to say. And when in popular music, what's really more important than like raw skill is channeling something that your listener can identify with. And it's like it's having a message that you can deliver in a way that is honest, that makes sense, and that people agree with, and it evokes an emotional response. And it doesn't matter, if you're singing on key. It doesn't matter if you have necessarily musical training, although it helps. But it's that honesty and it's that awareness that artists have that are successful. I feel like is really important, and that is something that you can transfer, that you can teach. You can tell somebody, hey, you may think that you can't sing, but if you have a message, it doesn't really matter.
I think in hip hop, they call that having a lot of pain in your music.
Interesting.
Like they say, man, I like this guy because he gives off this pain, and I can vibe with his story, or I can correlate. Because it's something that I've gone through. And not to take it away from Bob Dylan or Jimi Hendrix, they also were able to transfer a few new things to the music industry in terms of you didn't have to have a big band, you didn't have to be a jazz musician or know how to play the keys. Now, I still listen to some Bob Dylan and I still learned how to play a couple other songs, but at the same time, that folk art, I don't think we can take it away from people and being original in your music, because I feel there's a lot of copying.
Mm.
And that devalues a lot of the originality of a lot of new musicians, because they're trying to emulate somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And then that diluted, you add in they don't know about how to sell themselves, or they don't know what story they want to tell. And then you have a confusion of whether or not they want to be themselves. So how do you get that artist to become themselves, or just to get the originality out of them?
Man, that's a really difficult question, but you know, yeah. The answer is probably simpler than most people realize.
Yeah.
The answer is outside of music. The answer is about yeah. how you choose to live your life, and
yeah.
how important being honest with yourself is, right? If you can't be honest with yourself, then you're not going to be able to be honest with your audience. And so, you know, things like having a good therapist is really important. Things like, you know, knowing what it means to be a mature adult is really important. Understanding the value of the relationships in your life, having an understanding of like your own mortality. These are all things that are really important that serve as a foundation for the ability to have the confidence just mm-hmm. to be yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to copy others, especially when you're new. But if you're going to do something that's worthwhile, then you have to be yourself. Now, then the trick comes in, how do you be yourself while also delivering something that people want to hear, right? A package that people are expecting. Right. And that's the great puzzle, right? And it's always a balance between the two. I haven't yet, you know, cracked it myself, but I'm still working on it.
Well, I would love to have you back again on the show to talk about how we can do that effectively, because I do think that's a whole nother topic that people need to explore as musicians and be effective at it in order to translate to a lot of different crowds. Would yeah. that be something for you later on in the future?
I'd love to do it.
Awesome. So guys, I would like to thank you guys for tuning in and also listening. This again is John Mark. He is the CEO of Orpheus Artist Management here in Washington, D.C.